Good morning, and once again, welcome to all whom we have in our midst. As was mentioned in the announcements, we have a large number of visitors who are with us today, and that is it's a good thing. Of course, the circumstances that bring many of you here, we wish it was under better circumstances. Nevertheless, we are glad that you're here, and having said that, certainly there is a sense of hope, considering the example that our brother LB set for us in this life. I've had the privilege of working with this congregation for more than 20 years, and LB is the second brother this year to pass who was here, and has had a great influence in my life. And as Tony reflected in the prayers, you all are not the only ones who will be missing him and affected by his being here. But we have an example in LB that we learn to follow in our lives. So I just wanted to let you know that you continue to be in our prayers in these things. And it is good that you're here. But we're here for this morning for the purpose of worshiping God, which is always the case when we assemble together. And we are in the midst of a study where we are dealing with the subject of being an example. This year, our theme that we have been addressing is others. We've talked about the responsibility that Christians have to impact others. We've talked about proper attitudes toward others. In the month of February, we addressed the subject of what it means to serve. And then last month, as well as continuing through this month, we are dealing with the importance of being an example. And of course, after identifying what it means to be an example, we have addressed how we are to be examples in every aspect of our lives. There are at least five different categories of our lives. We've got the idea of the responsibilities that we have in the business world that we addressed a couple of weeks ago. We also talked, or 3 weeks ago, then we talked about our responsibility to our government. Last week we talked about our responsibility within our communities and our society, and today's lesson is actually a subtopic associated with that, where we're going to talk about our online social presence, or our online example. And then after our gospel meeting, we're going to continue by talking about the responsibilities that we have to be an example to our brethren within the Lord's body, as well as our example within the family. So that's what we're dealing with. And having said that, there's a lot to be said about example in Scripture. And so what we're going to talk about today, as I just mentioned here, we're going to talk about the Christian and social media. And of course, this is a fairly new phenomenon, if you will. As a matter of fact, when we think about the internet and when we think about social media, we're actually dealing with, for many of us, something that we've lived more than half of our lives without it. It's only the last two or three decades that the internet has developed to the degree that it is, and the advances in technology are so incredible. But of course, we're interested in what the Word of God says. And of course, I want to give us a couple of definitions before we actually get into this lesson so that we understand what we're dealing with. And the first one is the term society. And when you think of that term society, and this deals with our lesson last week talking about the Christian and his responsibilities to his community or society or neighborhood and such. And the term is typically defined by Webster's Dictionary as people in general who are living together within an organized community, and they have shared laws, traditions, and values. And along with that word society, related to it is the word social, or socializing. And that's dealing with the idea of relating to or involving the activities that people spend time talking or engaging with one another within their communities. And so typically when we talk about a social activity, we're talking about doing things together in one way or another. And that, of course, factors into the idea of this term social media that we are dealing with. And what we're talking about is carrying on social relationships or social interaction through an electronic form, that is, through the internet, and various things associated with the internet or other things similar to that. And of course, when you talk about the internet is is a system of interconnected networks which electronically transmit information. And of course, there's debate as to who invented the internet, you know, according to some. But social media and the internet. Here is my question that I have. Do we have a responsibility as Christians in that area? I want to make a couple of observations as we begin this lesson, and that's concerning the internet and social media. And the first thing that I'll say is I use the internet, and I use social media quite often. And a lot of good can be accomplished because of these advances in technology. You have the idea of instant communication anywhere in the world. You know, when I was growing up, if I wanted to communicate with somebody across the country, I would have to write a letter and take it to the post office, and 4 or 5 days later, it might arrive on the other side of the country, or maybe even the other side of the state. And that was basically what we had available to us. Or maybe a telephone call. Now you can pick up your portable cell phone, and not only can you talk if you want to, you can actually look at the individual. And it doesn't just have to be across town or across country. It can be on the other side of the world. And there's a lot of good to that. The time that we have the ability to save, the cost savings as a result of these resources, the idea of being able to rally behind noble causes, and again, it causes bigger than yourself or bigger than your own community. You can engage in those things. That is a good thing. But also with the internet, just a click away, and one of the resources that I consulted in this was a sermon by Joe Price, one of the preachers that we support, in a lesson that he called the World Wide Web of Sin. WWW Sin, if you will. And he talks about just a click away, you have the sins of the flesh. Lust, pornography, gambling, and just all different types of sinful activities are just a click away, and you can access them from your home. There's the false doctrine and the false religions that are being advanced and that are readily available. Human wisdom and the teachings of human wisdom, some of it good and some of it not so good. There's a danger that we'll talk about a little later on in this lesson of utilizing our time properly. And this becomes a big concern, as well as that of the way that we pass judgment on the things that we read and the things that come across our eyes as we are engaging in social media. Unrighteous judging, if you will. So all of those are qualities that we think about when we see the internet. Good can be accomplished, but so can evil be accomplished. And that's the truth about social media. Now, I want to make this point up front. And when I preach on money, I say the same thing. Money is not good, and money is not evil. The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil, or the root of all kinds of evil, actually, is the point that is being made there. But money is morally neutral. And it's the same thing with the internet. It's the same thing with social media. It doesn't have morality itself. It's a matter of what you do with it. It's how you use these things that determines whether or not it's going to have a godly or an ungodly influence in your lives and those whom you interact with in the social community. And another observation that needs to be made here, I realize that there are some who don't like the internet, who don't like social media and those types of things, and I understand. And if you don't want that, don't get it. It's not like you can't live without it. You know, the world survived for what, 5-6,000 years without it. So I mean, it's not like it's absolutely necessary to have it. But the reality is, it's here, and it's a part of our society, and it's not going anywhere. And the point that I would make with that is again, you can go back, you can use it for good, or you can use it for evil purposes. You know, we're living in a time where somebody in their worship service might take out their phone and you can sit there and become upset and you think that they're playing games or you think that they're chatting with somebody somewhere, when in reality, this may be their Bible. This may be where their Bible is that they're reading. And I'll tell you right now, as preachers, that's something that we need to take seriously, because if they're looking at that Bible on the internet, chances are, if you say something, they can verify whether or not it's true. They can look the word up and make sure that you're using the word properly. But my point is that's a good thing. That's a good thing with social media and with the internet and the technologies that we have available to us, and it's here to stay. But regardless of that, just as there are biblical standards for our conduct within the community, as we talked about last week, there are biblical standards for our online community. There are biblical standards that we must follow, and you're going to find some repetition with different application to what I said last week. Because it is our community. It's a part of our society. It's a part of our neighborhood. Just our electronic society or neighborhood. So let's keep all of that in mind as we talk about what the Bible regulates as far as dealing with these things. Now I'm going to tell you this, that much good can be done as for the cause of Christ where the internet is concerned. You know, churches have the opportunity to share the gospel. And again, it may not just be limited to your neighborhood. You can share the gospel throughout the world. And it is amazing the number of contacts that have been made as a result of the truth being taught on Scripture. Many churches have a web presence. And I will tell you right now that of our local visitors, and even some of our visitors from other locations, you know, I always ask them, how'd you hear about us? More than half the time, we went to your website. We have a website. So if you will, we have a web presence with which we can share the Word of God. And we try to make everything that we say available. All the sermons are made available on the internet. We're not trying to hide anything. And so that's a good thing. And as I said, you've got your portable Bibles and resources that are associated with that are good. Brethren have the ability to communicate with one another. That is a good thing, that we can do that and actually save time in doing that. There's the idea of finding potential prospects for reaching the gospel with. Renewed friendships in a good way. All of these things are good that can be done for the cause of Christ. And for those of you that are a part of this congregation, I have a challenge for you this week. If you have social media, if you have a Facebook account or Twitter or whatever it is, here's my challenge. Sometime this week, announce our gospel meeting for next week. Invite your friends to come hear the Word of God as it is preached next week. Link to the website. And I'm telling you this, you remember how one of the points I made, it was actually last Sunday night, dealing with us trying to reach our friends and so on. Are you willing to risk your friendship for the cause of Christ? Well, are you willing to declare who you are on the web? Invite people to our worship services. Use the internet. It costs nothing. We know that. So invite those, and who knows? Maybe somebody will come as a result of that and hear the gospel. Well, having said all of that, you know, much evil can also be done to the cause of Christ on the internet. There's division. And a lot of brethren love to fight with words. There's the spreading of lies, mistruths, half-truths, rumors. There's bitterness that is often expressed in the tone of the things that are said. There's filthy language, profanity, and other things. There's just people being poor examples where the gospel is concerned. And so good or evil can be done, but our goal is to, as in every aspect of our lives, be an example and be a proper influence where others are concerned. So, having said all of that, now let's talk about some principles we find in Scripture that regulate our online activity, if you will. And the first one that we want to remind ourselves of is, as always, let your light shine. We have a responsibility in all that we do to let our light shine. As Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, that you're the light of the world. And he said, don't hide your light under a basket, but put it on a lampstand in verse 15, and it'll give light to all who are in the house. And then in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. On the internet, when you post something, other people see what you are posting. Are they seeing Christ in our lives? This song that Frank just led a moment ago, Footprints of Jesus, is talking about the example of Jesus and how we follow Him throughout this life and wherever we are. Do we represent our Lord with our internet activity? Can people with our internet activity see that we are Christians? You know, would there be enough evidence to convict you online, if you will? So that's the first thing for us to give consideration to when we think about social media. Something else that we need to be very careful of is not to be caught up in ungodly behaviors. Often associated and sometimes started with the internet and oftentimes just demonstrated by those who are on the internet. As Christians, we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 22 to abstain from every form or every type of evil. And that's the point of that particular text. I think King James uses the word every appearance of evil. You know, and the point is if it's something that is evil, don't partake of it. If you have worldly friends that are posting things that are ungodly, don't have any part with those things. Remove it from your page or whatever it is. That which will be exposed to other friends. Don't get caught up in ungodly behaviors. Be careful in those things. In Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse number 11, Paul there said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Let your friends know, I don't approve of that type of conduct. And it's not going to have any part in my life. Whatever that might be. So you learn from that you do not get caught up in ungodly behavior. And in addition to that, you just need to be aware of the dangers that are associated with social media. Just as there's dangers with many things that are not wrong within themselves, but there are dangers that we must think about in those things. You know, I'm reminded of in Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse number 1 where Solomon there said, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is more valuable than $1 million in the bank. That's really the point. It has to do with your reputation. In Romans 12 and in verse number 17, Paul there said, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. You know how we've emphasized when we talk about the tongue, how, you know, one phrase can destroy somebody's reputation, can damage or ruin a relationship. But that's true online as well. One click of the mouse can damage your relationship. It can damage your reputation, and it can hurt other people depending on what you are saying about somebody else. And so we need to realize that. And just as with our tongues, we need to be slow to hear and slow to speak. We need to be slow to click when it comes to using the internet. We need to be slow to post. Or tweet, or again, whatever word is used with whatever means is out there. And you need to realize that one thing about the internet is it's a permanent record. That's another thing to think about. You know, sometimes you may say a word to a friend in confidentiality, in public, and if that friend loves you and respects you, it'll be between you and him. And if you say something wrong, you can correct it just by going to that person. It's on the internet. There's no telling. There's no telling how far it will spread, and if it'll revisit you 10 years down the road. It's a permanent record. So just keep that in mind when you engage with online activities from that standpoint. Beware of the dangers toward your influence and dangers in many other areas, which we'll talk about. And along with that, I say be careful what you share. And let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about with this. Modesty. You know, what kind of clothes are you wearing? You know, it's one thing to have a standard of modesty that goes along with the world. And of course, Christians ought to have a standard that is above the world. And Lord willing, in May, I'm going to actually address this in more detail. That's kind of my plans to do that. But I quite often see pictures posted of Christians wearing inappropriate behavior. Short clothing. Men with no shirts on. And so on and so forth. Just demonstrating a modest standard that is not that of Scripture. Be careful what you post. People see those things. Are you promoting sinful habits? Are you promoting sinful activities? Are you bragging about where you go? Are you bragging about that R-rated movie that you went to with your friends? Or do they have pictures of you in the casino? Or on the dance floor, you know, at the bar, the nightclub? Or whatever the circumstances. Be careful what you share with other people. And of course, if this is an example of your sins will find you out. Of course, in a lot of instances, it's because you're telling people what your sins are. Now, as Christians, you know, as we study, there are activities we ought to not be engaged in the first place. But again, when you make it public, it takes it to another level. Not only do you have this sin that you need to repent of, you have an influence issue that you need to address where God is concerned. So be careful what you share with others. Another principle that we might want to consider on this is, who are your friends? Who's your friends on Facebook? Who's your friends on Pinterest, Twitter, or whatever other of these online activities? You know, I don't know if you noticed on the opening slide there, I think I had a picture of maybe ten different icons to different types of social media. You know, when I was looking up something to find there, they actually have one that has like 100 different ones. So that's how many different resources are out there. Who's your friends on all these things? You know, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse number 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse number 33, Paul there said, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company, evil companionship, evil things can corrupt what you become. If the majority of your friends in social media are worldly friends, then they're going to have an influence on you in many ways. Galatians 5 and verse number 9 says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's a principle that we need to be aware of. So we need to ask ourselves, who are our friends? And as Christians, we need to realize that we are the body of Christ. And I make that point, and I know that we've emphasized this continually in lessons. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 16, it talks about the whole body joined and knit together according to which every part does it share. We're all a part of the body, and Paul illustrates that in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27, where he there describes how every part of the body is important, and every part of the body depends on the rest of the body to function. Every part is important, every part is needed, but the body as a whole is all those parts together. And he's describing a congregation of the Lord's people. And he says, every single part in one way or another affects others. Do you realize that when you post that on the internet that which is inappropriate, it affects the body of Christ that you are a part of, if you've bothered to tell anybody that you're a part of that body. And even if somebody knows it, whether you've told them or not, it affects the body as a whole. And again, when I talk about choosing your friends, are brethren your online friends? You know, I wonder, are there people out there, and I hope this isn't the case here, but are there people out there in the world who are afraid to have brethren as their friends because they will see, you know, the things that they do? So they friend those who are of the world rather than their brethren. I do not say this I mean nothing bragging by what I'm about to say, but the majority of my friends are my brethren. And I only have a couple of social media accounts. That's all I have. But most of them are brethren. And on a daily basis, there are Bible discussions that are being carried on. On some of the places that I access and so on. I'm going to try not to let the internet influence me for bad. And the social media in whatever way that I have. You know, we are reminded in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Solomon there said, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Don't associate with those that are going to drag you down. Don't associate with those that are going to corrupt you. And if somebody on their web presence is constantly spreading lies, maybe you ought to rethink whether they're your friends. Maybe you ought to be willing to unfriend some of these people. Because remember, others may see your profile. And if they see that you're friends with so-and-so who's constantly telling filthy jokes, who's constantly using profanity, maybe in some cases might even be blaspheming God, denying God. You know, you ought to be hiding those, or unfriending those people. They're not good for you, and they're not good for those that you are associated with in your online community and such. So choose your friends wisely. Another thing that we ought to think about, and this is extremely important, and that's that we learn to be absolutely and totally honest while we are on the internet. You know the old joke, if it's on the internet, it must be true. That's what Abraham Lincoln said. And again, that's the joke. We know better than that. The social media and the internet are filled with misinformation, lies, insinuations, accusations, exaggerations. And my point is simply, you need to verify. And as Christians, we need to be honest in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 25, Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 25, therefore putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for you are members one of another. Let me ask you, who's your neighbor? I think we talked a little bit about that last week, didn't we? Go down to verse number 29. He says there in that text there, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Be careful what you say. In Revelation 22 and verse 8, John there gives a description of those who will have their part in the lake that burns with liars, or that burns with fire and brimstone and liars. Because the last thing that is said in that list is all liars shall have their part in that lake which burns with fire and brimstone. We should not be advancing lies. And I will tell you right now that as Christians, I think this is true with everybody, we have a responsibility to verify that what we are posting and what we are forwarding and what we are sharing is true. We need to verify it before we send it out. Just because we hear some outrageous comment that happens to condemn our enemy doesn't necessarily make it true. And as Christians, we need to be honest in everything that we say and everything that we do and everything that we post, if you want to add that to it. So verify before you click. Another concern is that of gossip. You know, gossip is telling something about others that is either untruthful or unnecessary. And I add to that unnecessary. Something can be truthful and still be gossip. I think some people misunderstand it. You know, there are some that say, I can say whatever I want about others as long as it's true. That's not the biblical standard. We need to think about kindness where others are concerned. And the Bible talks about how friends conceal the matters of others. You read in Proverbs 11 and verse 13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is a faithful spirit conceals a matter. And notice it doesn't say whether the secret is true or not. It just says a talebearer reveals secrets. In Proverbs 20 and in verse 19, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Basically say, don't associate with gossips. So if you've got a friend that's talking about everybody and getting people in trouble online, unfriend them. Don't be associated with that. And I ask the question, will you unfriend or delete one who is caught up in gossip? And do others have to unfriend you because you are doing those things? Let's not be guilty of that. In addition to that, don't be angry. Don't be bitter. It's very easy to post things online or to say things in bitterness. And you read something that somebody else says, whether it was directed toward you or not, and your knee-jerk reaction is to respond, and you just start typing at 150 words a minute, you know, not thinking, and your fingers are working faster than your brain. And then you hit that send button, and about 2 seconds later, you realize, I shouldn't have done that. Don't be bitter or angry. As Christians, we are to let all bitter and wrath be put away from us. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 31. So be careful in choosing your words and avoid bitterness. Another thought that we want to give consideration to is don't make unrighteous judgments. Unrighteous judgments. Jesus Himself taught that when you make judgments, do it righteously. In John chapter 7 and in verse 24, judge with righteous judgment. In Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 13, Solomon said, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and a shame to him. And when I say unrighteous judgment, I'm talking about you jump to conclusions based upon what you hear without verifying it, or if it's somebody that you have a criticism toward or a concern about, you assume the worst where they're concerned. Rather than weighing the words and thinking no evil and assuming maybe they didn't mean it in a harsh way. Maybe they genuinely care when they said what they did. But I have opportunity to expose them and think that they did it for a wrong reason and in a wrong way. And so I'm going to assume that that was their motive. And I'm going to act accordingly. That's not the way that a Christian behaves. We should not assume the worst motives in what others say. And sometimes that means we might actually have to verify something before we actually deal with it, or post it, or forward it, or respond to it. And incidentally, this might be where a telephone or a actual visit, a face-to-face visit might be helpful. You know, just something to think about that. You know, verify the intent before you deal with the situation. And if you can, deal with it privately. One more concern that I have is that, or a couple of more concerns, but one of them is we need to be careful not to be glorifying ourselves. That's one of the things about much of social media. It's about me. You know, when somebody posts something and they're looking to see how many likes can I get? Or they want to post a video and they want to reach that whatever the magic number is where they describe it as a viral video. You know, it's been viewed by a million people or whatever it is. And there's some people that's what they thrive for with social media, is for everybody to draw attention to them. In Proverbs 25 and verse 27, Solomon said, "It is not good to eat much honey. So to seek one's own glory is not glory." Jesus in Matthew 23 and in verse 12 said that whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And that's the attitude of a Christian. We should not be out there trying to glorify ourselves and to see how much we can promote ourselves and how good we are. And again, how many people we can get to respond, to what we say and give us that web presence, if you will. I think about along this line what I describe as bullying posts. You know what a bullying post is? That's a post that somebody or an email that somebody sends to you that they have some good point, a cute poem, or they make some observation that is good, and they say, "Now, if you agree with this, forward it to all your friends." And basically, the implication of the wording is, if you don't forward this to everybody that you know, you're either immoral, they question your integrity, they question your faith. You want to know the quickest way to get me to delete an email or to delete a post? Is put that on the bottom of the post. Send this to everybody or you don't care. And I think it's actually calmed down a little bit, because people have realized that. That's offensive. And it's bullying people. And it's about somebody seeking self-glorification. And it's ungodly. It's not the way of a Christian. If a good point is made, and you want to share it with your friends, share it. Just remove that statement from the bottom of the email or the post. And then share it with everybody. Another thing that we need to consider when it comes to social media is our time. Time is a very valuable commodity. We're told in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse number 16 that we are to redeem the time, to use it wisely. James in James chapter 4 and verse 14 described how our life is a vapor. It only appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. You only have so much time. And how many of us in this society where technology has given us so many conveniences that are designed to save us time, but yet we have less time now than we used to have? And how much of that is because we spend our time all day on the internet or watching television or engaged in discussions on social media, and then we say, "I don't have time to go visit the sick," or "I don't have time to go try to teach somebody. I don't have time to study the Word of God. I don't have time to come Sunday night or Wednesday night." But yet they have time to play games all day long on the internet or engage in whatever it is. Weigh our priorities. Social media can rob you of valuable time. And so like everything else, it's a tool that needs to be used wisely. And leading to that, one of the reasons it robs us of time is because social media can be very addictive. It can be exciting. It can be exciting to be involved in all these conversations all the time and get caught up with the games and get caught up with whatever it is. It can become addicting. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 12, Paul says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." In that text, Paul is talking about things that are not wrong within themselves. What did I say at the beginning of this lesson about social media? It is morally neutral. But it can become sinful if it possesses your life. If you become so addicted to it or any other behavior that it takes away from your opportunity to be what you need to be with others. So we need to govern our time properly. Let me ask you this. How long could you go without checking your social media? You know, here's your challenge. Could you do without Facebook for a week? Can you do without your social media for a week? I know there's people that use it for business purposes or whatever. Even allowing that, can you do without the personal for a week? Just to see how addicted you are, or if you're addicted to it. So these are some things to think about when it comes to the internet. As we can see, you look at the Word of God, there are standards that apply to every aspect of our lives. And we are an influence in this area just as in every other area of our lives. In some cases, more so. Because the internet is so prevalent in our society. So as we bring this lesson to its conclusion, I just ask this, are you a good online neighbor? Think about it. And the lesson is yours. Open your psalm books now to number 593. Free waters. Perhaps there is someone in this audience who has never obeyed the gospel. If so, we want to give you opportunity this morning to become a child of God. Do you believe in Jesus? And are you willing to obey Him? Within His Word, He tells one that you must repent of your sins. That you must be willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God, and that you must be immersed for the remission of your sins. Jesus taught, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16 and verse 16. If you have not done that, then we invite you this morning to become a child of God and make your life right with Him. But then as a child of God, realize that you have to faithfully serve God the rest of your life. That's a part of being that's what it means to be a Christian. And He consumes every area of your life. And when you sin, you need to take care of that sin. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, when we sin as Christians, that we confess our sin in prayer to God and He will forgive us of our sins. We must repent of that sin. Acts 8 verse 22. And perhaps as, because of the nature of what we've done, we may need to publicly acknowledge our sins. Or maybe we just need the prayers of the brethren. Whatever the case, there's a fountain free made available. If you're subject to the invitation, we bid you to come forward as we stand.